This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I was going to say, we should probably start with the most important thing. Horse injuries? Horse stepping on feet? What?
Yeah, you guys saw that. I can't remember what I said, so apologies for the language or whatever it might have been. It was pretty painful, yeah.
You took it pretty well, actually.
Did you? Think?
Yeah.
I think you were surprised.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a shock. Yeah. Yeah, there's been a few little injuries along the way, but it's all good.
We'll talk a little bit about getting involved in this project. This is one of those films where there was a lot of talk about who was going to land this role. Were you aware of like all the names circling for this project, or were you sort of just keeping your head down, being like, please let me get this?
The first time I heard about it was a real long time ago, before, I think it was when we were doing press for A Single Man. I met Roger, the casting director, back then, and then it went really quiet. For a fair while. I think Brian went to work a lot on the previews and all that sort of stuff. So nothing really happened, and then got cast in Mad Max, and then that got delayed, and then went on to X-Men. And then I met Brian, and he mentioned that he was doing this and that he was prepping it all, basically, whilst we were filming X-Men. But at the time, Mad Max was meant to be shooting again whilst this was filming, so I wasn't really in the running for it. And then when that got delayed again, I think I missed the first set of screen tests because we were filming it in Georgia for the final battle sequence of X-Men, and then came in and did a few screen tests at the beginning of this year and worked out. Very lucky.
What's your Jack like?
What's my Jack like?
Yeah.
What's he like? Well, he's a dreamer. He's a young farmer who hasn't had an easy upbringing, and then he's kind of catapulted onto this epic mission and falls in love with the princess. He's an average hero, well, an average guy who becomes a hero. He's a good guy, which is nice. Playing a good guy is wanted, but he's fairly laid back and understanding of the princess's situation, and wants to become a guardian and protect her. And it's quite. He has to overcome quite a few of his fears of heights and thunder and all these sort of things along the way. It's just an average guy in the world.
So what sort of training did you have to do as well? Because we've heard you've had to do rock climbing and stuff like that.
Yeah, we did rock climbing, which was lots of fun, actually. I don't know if you've seen any of the beanstalk stuff, but we've spent a lot of time climbing on beanstalks, and then they have the rain effects on and wind machines like that battering us. So we did a fair bit of climbing, a bit of horse riding. Not that I've actually done that much riding. I've done more standing with horses. And then that was mainly the training, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
You done any combat training or?
No, I did a bit of fitness training just because there's a lot of running around,
yeah,
and jumping and all that sort of stuff. But apart from the giants, Jack doesn't actually fight any humans while I'm home.
And how does he meet his princess, and is she very much a damsel in distress at all, or how does that romance kind of start?
No, she's a headstrong, fiery young princess who, kind of isn't too happy being cooped up in the castle all day, and she goes on these little escapes occasionally, and they bump into each other. The first encounter they have is there's actually a pantomime going on of Jack and the giant killer, and they're both watching in the audience, and he sees her getting accosted by some drunks, and tries to do the heroic thing, the good thing, as we all hoped we would, and step in to try and help, and then it doesn't quite go to plan. He gets knocked out. So that's their first encounter, is him trying to help her, and then later on she turns up at his house. It's a bit of a surprise, basically. She gets caught out in the storm, and by coincidence ends up there. And then this adventure begins.
We saw some previs of the beanstalk going up,
yeah,
and I believe a golden bracelet or something,
yeah,
coming on. Could you sort of talk about filming that sequence and the challenges of filming it?
Oh yeah, that sequence is really cool. They built the house. They built Jack's character's uncle's house. In the studios, and then had it on a rig whereby the whole house would shake and the floorboards would explode. There was a ram in the floor that I would be running to try and get to early, and it would hit me in the stomach and lift me up, and then I get thrown out through the roof. It was a lot of fun to do all that, and that, you know, there's a bit of dialogue and kind of scene in there as well. So that was that sequence, and then Jack's the princess is trapped inside the house with the beanstalk growing and lifting it up into the sky. So Jack's trying to get in to save her and help her, and I think I'm giving away quite a lot of the story. So people are going to see this one and then seeing this thing.
We have Warner Brothers in the room with us.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll tell you if you can't.
Don't mention the vampires. Yes. And then there's vampires and some aliens.
But don't you think also, like, this is based on Jack? I mean, this is based on something that a lot of people already know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you're saying so far is, isn't that part of the, like, some of that is part of the original myth?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The really nice thing when I read the script was the ending of the story, how it all ties together. And this is basically not that Jack and the Beanstalk you see at pantomimes or the story, you know. It's based around it, obviously, but then there's it's basically as if this tale has been retold over many generations through lots of families, and it ends up becoming the story that we know nowadays. So it's kind of the tale behind that. And it's, you know, it's a fairy tale, romantic adventure, I think.
We'll talk a little bit about the 3D cameras. Was this your first time working with them, and what's been the challenge as an actor?
As an actor, I mean, it slows the pace down. So there's challenges in that way, kind of when you're doing a scene, because you kind of build up a momentum sometimes, and you get into a rhythm of doing it, and that kind of gets knocked out of it a little bit because it takes longer to set up and arrange. And particularly with this one, you know, the fact that it's not being post converted and Brian and everyone spending a lot of time making sure that it's worthwhile seeing it in 3D and that it's actually an added effect sort of thing and part of the experience. So it slows the pace down, but looks fantastic, I think.
Can you talk about working with Eleanor? This is her first kind of big leading role. And did you have a lot of time before you started shooting to kind of get to know her and build a kind of a rapport?
Yeah, I did early screen tests actually, and the thing that I really liked, the fantastic thing was that she just instantly had a bit of a feistiness to her, you know, she'd take the piss out of me right from the off, and I was like, okay, this is someone that I can have fun with for 4 months or whatever, and she had that quality that the princess has to have, and so we have fun, and we have a laugh about it, yeah.
Has it been working with Brian on this as compared to X-Men, both in terms of, you know, completely different story and then all the technical elements that have changed?
Well, Brian on X-Men, he visited a couple of times on set, but, you know, wasn't around. He was working on this, so I only chatted to him, I think, twice on that. So this is obviously a very different experience here every day, and he's fun to work with, you know, he also takes the piss. Maybe I'm just an easy target. But he's sensible in the sense that he's got a very clear vision and is obviously extremely intelligent in how he's linking the film all together and what he needs to tell the story. All his films, you know, are exciting to watch and entertaining. So there's that, but then he's got a good way of, you know, being technical with you when he needs to, just to make the shot work. But also working on the dialogue, and you have to keep on your toes because he adapts a lot throughout. You know, with the while she's shooting, the script will be changing, the scenes will be changing, the shots will be changing, and then you know you have to keep your wits about you to make sure that you keep up with it.
What do you think you learned on set when you meet each other?
To always be on the ball and listen and be aware of what's going on around, because you can learn a lot and it helps. You're doing, I think, to just be aware of everything that's going on. Yeah.
I'm going to ask an X-Men question.
Yeah.
Critics and audiences seem to really dig the movie. I personally loved it. Were you surprised by the success of it and the enthusiasm? Because I know you guys were filming to really close to release.
It was up to the cast. But I think Matt had. You know, they were really. It was a very quick turnaround, and they were definitely under the cosh a little bit. So it was. I don't know. I think if you. For us, with Matthew directing it and the script, we knew it was a good story. So, and obviously, with X-Men already having the fan base it has, you know, it was just great that everyone enjoyed it, and I could take my family along, my mates, and they all really enjoyed it and thought it was fun. So, it was.
What did they think about your return as a Beast in that makeup?
They thought it was pretty funny. I think because family and friends had known what it was like inside of it, they kind of had, pitied me a little bit. Because I knew how painful it was being inside that thing. It's very hot and uncomfortable.
How do you think they're going to react to this?
My parents have been along actually, and I've shown them a couple of sequences, and they're very excited about it. It's looking great.
Kind of in the same vein as advice that earlier question, like you've worked with some really prolific older actors. Like, have you gotten any really memorable advice from any of them on sets?
Prolific advice on set. I think it's to be prepared as you can. And it's just concentration most of the time. That's the thing you learn from them, that you watch them and they've got concentration and just an awareness of everything going on around, and they're very observant as well. And the best actors that I've worked with are very giving as well. When you work with them, they'll be there and they'll give as much off camera as when they're on camera, and sometimes that's not the case with some people. So that's always really great to have that, and they help, it makes it very easy when you're acting with the actors. It doesn't feel like acting, it's just doing
it. You're wrapping on this thing in like a week and a half. Yeah. Are you looking forward to your vacation, or are you jumping right back into something else?
I'm starting, I think about a week or two off, and then I'm starting in Montreal on a film called Warm Bodies, that Jonathan Levine's directing, playing a zombie.
That's actually an interesting twist on the zombie thing. If I'm not mistaken, the zombie can think.
Yeah, he can think. He's lost his memory of words a lot, so his speech isn't great and stuff. But he captures a living girl and for some reason doesn't eat her brains and kind of falls for her, and kind of basically it's about him regaining his humanity.
Well, I mean, if you have a week between this and that,
yeah.
How do you rehearse to play? Are you rehearsing to play a zombie?
Not at the moment. I mean, I'm very tired, so that might help. I go out in a week, but then we have a few weeks prep out there, so
okay.
I'll work with Jonathan and try and come up with something.
Are you going to have a voiceover to rely on for that? Because much like the majority of that book is all in his head.
Yeah, there is a voiceover, which works well because he's very eloquent and funny and sharp in the voiceover, so it shows kind of the person inside that's trapped, basically.
So when you were younger, were you a fan of the Jack and the Beanstalk fairy tale? Do you have memories of it being read to you or anything like that?
My older sister was in the pantomime of it with Timmy Mallet, I think.
Great!
You
just read something.
I got fun. I think growing up over here, like with pantomime season and all that sort of stuff, yeah, of course I've got fun memories of it. And it's been nice since actually when they people brought their kids along and the kids are really big fans of the story. Or one of our sound guys, his son was playing Jack a few weeks ago in the school production of it and all that sort of stuff. And that's, I asked him for any tips actually, if he carries any nuggets and information he could give it. That's really nice.
We'll talk a little about, you've been filming this for how many months?
I think nearly four.
Is there a big challenge in maintaining the energy over the 4 months, or is it sort of exaggerated, or, could you sort of talk about that?
There is, it's kind of,
it's a tricky question.
No, it can be on these types of shoots with lots of special effects and stuff, and sometimes because the pace is quite slow because it's very technical stuff, particularly the things they're doing here with the simulcam, lining all those things up and making them work. It can be a bit of an endurance test in some ways, whereby you've got to make sure that you're still on point and have the energy when the cameras are rolling. I don't want to say too much because I might not have the energy when the cameras are on. And it can be a bit endurance test, as I say.
Like someone like David Fincher will do like sometimes 90 takes. What's typical for Bryan Singer?
Bryan Singer until he gets it right, which we haven't been anywhere near 90, that's for sure. Typical. It really just depends on all the technical aspects of it working and the scene working. Sometimes you can do two or three takes and they're happy and they've got what they need, and then other times you can go up 10, whatever it might be.
10 doesn't seem like that high a number.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, I have actually kept track of our highest amount of takes yet. probably something involved in me going wrong.
You still have a week and a half, too.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's been any scenes that have been ridiculous amounts of takes, from what I can remember. Probably erased it from my memory, though.
What is your interaction like with the kind of the military guys of the film, the royalty and the everything? Talk about working with those actors and also with what your character is up against them.
Yeah, the Guardians are obviously like Ewan McGregor, Eddie Marzan, and those guys. I kind of become not part of them, but on the mission with them. And obviously, this is an exciting thing for Jack because they're the elite soldiers that he looks up to and wanted to be from a young age. So I mean, it's a lot of fun doing the things with those guys. Eddie's like one of the funniest people, and Ewan as well. So they're very relaxed on set and easy to get along with, and we have fun. There's some funny scenes between us, I think. So it's lots of fun those days. I mean, yeah, all climbing the beanstalk together, and then we've got Stanley playing Roderick, who's the bad guy, which is brilliant again to watch some of his stuff and the look he's created and the persona is fantastic.
Do you have a lot of scenes with Ian McShane?
I get a few scenes with McShane, yeah. Generally when after I've come back down the beanstalk and he's aware that there's a slight romantic connection between his daughter and me, and McShane's funny. He's a funny man. He likes to rib me a little bit. Just test out the younger actors a little bit.
Is there an intimidation factor a little bit with Ian? I mean, he has a presence.
It's a tricky one. Is it rude to say no? I don't find him particularly intimidating. But obviously, with any actor, like with Eddie and Ewan and all those guys, when you're first on set and you've seen them in films and you respect their work and look up to them and stuff, there's obviously that intimidating thing whereby you're there and they don't make it feel as though they're judging you, but obviously a part of your brain is going, they're judging me. So you want to do a good job and make them like you, if possible. Yeah.
Hypothetically speaking, have you borrowed anything from set? Because I know you won't take anything from the set legitimately.
Yes, I have. But the people that gave it to me their departments were getting a lot of trouble. But of course, you've got to take a few little mementos here and there, just in case they fall on hard times, like an eBay.
But we'll know where they come from.
Yeah, no, that really was a warning. We will now. We'll track you down. Yeah, I've got a few little...
Why is Nick's sister selling things?
I've got 600 beanstalk in my back garden.
We also saw there was a whole bunch of filming outside London in different locations. What's the furthest you've travelled on the film for filming on location? Or have you pretty much been here?
Furthest we went to Wales. I think we're going to be going up to Scotland to Isle of Skye. Isle of Skye? Isle of Skye. Going up there. Those are the furthest reaches we've been to. Cheddar Gorge, I went to for a little bit. Norwich Cathedral. It's been nice because we've been all over and they've built fantastic sets. It helps a lot when you're trying to imagine a lot of things and a lot of stuff isn't there. The good sets and things that are really to work with, that helped a lot.
We're going to all these different places, covering all these different scenes. Is there any one thing in terms of preparation that stays consistent with you? Is there anything you have to do before you hit the set?
Before I hit the set? I would say learn my lines, but the lines change a lot of the time on set as well. So, read over the scenes that have happened just beforehand and just make sure that everything's making sense being malleable is quite an effective way of this.
We'd love to get